that, good morning again, everyone. Once again, for anyone who does not know me, my name is Billy Haynes, pastor here. And I know we do this a lot, but I need to thank once again, our praise team, our volunteers who are working so hard to make this happen. Do you realize they're getting up before the sun comes up? They're setting up here in the dark. Thank you. Thank you all for your help in that. And you might be wondering, what else could I do besides show my appreciation? The audio team, in particular, are looking for some help there. If you have any bit of technical background, any kind of musical background, any kind of anything, right, Jamie? You're looking for help. Jamie McCartney has been our lead audio guy, along with Chris Neal, working very hard. All right. Well, we're finishing up this morning our summer sermon series, calling that Rooted. Next week, preaching a standalone sermon, Forward Together, going to be talking a little bit more about our vision for the ministry year. If you are watching it at home, Pastor Dave rolled that out last week. He did a wonderful job. Can you say that, those of you who are here? But those of us at home, we didn't hear it at all. So I'm going to preach a whole sermon on it next week to make up for that. After that, the fall sermon series is going to be on the Ten Commandments. I'm looking forward to preach on that. We'll be going through all 10 of those, so that's coming. But this morning, summer sermon series Rooted. We've been looking this summer. Remember Jeremiah chapter 17. The man, the person who trusts in the Lord, is like a tree planted by a stream of water. We've said that's a vision, that's a picture for us of how we want to live our life. That's what it looks like for us, for this unique Christian hope that we have. Jeremiah gives us that vision that listen, we can live above the mess. That's what Jeremiah says. We can live above this mess. He says even though the drought comes, even though the sun beats down that tree, its leaves remain green. And not only that, it continues to bear fruit. That's the hope that we have. That's the result of the hope that we have. And so we've been asking this summer, how is it that we can become rooted? How is it that we sink our roots down into that hope? We've been looking at a number of practical topics this morning, concluding sermon, looking at prayer, learning to pray. While every sermon I preach really is a sermon that I'm preaching to myself, I particularly feel that when I'm preaching on prayer. I know how badly I'd need not only to hear a sermon on prayer, but to become a person of prayer. I think we tell ourselves prayer's pretty basic. Prayer's pretty easy. Shouldn't be hard. I think we say that about a lot of things. I've heard people say that about relationships. We say that about marriage. It shouldn't be hard. And yet there is work required. Sometimes it is hard. Prayer can be hard. We're going to listen in on Jesus' words as he teaches us how to pray. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's printed in your bulletin. You can find it on your phone. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' teaching on prayer before he introduces us to what's called the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Dave framed his prayer this morning using the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to be preaching on that section, just the introduction that Jesus gives. So let's pray as we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to receive his word. And, Father, I'm not sure how we come this morning. Perhaps eager, perhaps anxious, maybe distracted. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us where we are today, and that your word, that your spirit working through your word would get a hold of us once again. Lord, I pray for those who maybe are sitting at home and have another set of challenges and trying to focus on what you have for them. Lord, would you break through all of that and speak to us. Speak to our hearts this morning. Get a hold of us in a fresh way. Remind us once again of that unique hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we do pray that in his name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the passage in just a moment, but before I do, I want you to, I want to give you something to listen for. This is a sermon on prayer. So as I read this, I want you to listen for what Jesus has to say about prayer. And as soon as I finish, I'm going to break us into the groups that you're sitting in and the groups you're sitting in at home. And I want you to have just a short discussion amongst yourselves. So what's that one thing that sticks out to you here of what Jesus has to say about prayer? To hear God's word, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Okay, let's take just a couple moments right now. Turn to the people that you're sitting with here, that you're sitting with at home. If you're sitting by yourself, you can just spend some time thinking about this. What's that thing that that pops out to you here about prayer? Okay, that was good. That was good. Hopefully, you had a good little discussion. This is Bible study slash sermon time. Here's where we're going to go for the sermon this morning. I want to share with you four things that this passage has taught me about prayer. I'm going to give them to you. These are printed in your bulletin. I encourage you, particularly if you have a hard time focusing during the sermon, to print out that bulletin and consider taking notes. But here are the four things that I learned about prayer from this passage. Number one, prayer needs to be taught. Prayer needs to be taught. How about that? Number two, the starting point for prayer is relationship. The starting point for prayer, says Jesus, is relationship. Number three, prayer requires space. Jesus says, go into your room, shut the door. And number four, prayer has an impact on our lives. There's a reward for prayer. There's a reward for sitting in that divine presence in prayer. It has an impact on our lives. So there's where we're going to go. Four observations about prayer from this passage. Number one, prayer needs to be taught. First, maybe most obvious thing, we're going to have a hard time here with the wind. The sermon might go quicker because my notes are turning very quickly. This will be a strange preaching experience for those of you who say I use my hands a lot. I'm going to keep them right here. most obvious thing that we see here, prayer needs to be taught. Jesus gathers his disciples together, right? He gathers his people to his disciples together, takes them up on this mountain, and remember who the disciples are. Right, remember who the disciples are. I know they don't get the best rap as you read through the Gospels, but is it fair to say that these men are pretty serious about their faith? Right, they're pretty serious about their faith. They literally left everything to follow Jesus. When Jesus goes to these men and says, come and follow me, he means like literally get up, stop what you're doing, and come and follow me. We mean different things, I think, when we hear follow me. But Jesus says, follow me, leave everything. They left their careers. They left their livelihoods. They left their homes to follow Jesus. They're serious about their faith. These are the men, remember, with whom Jesus is going to build his church. It's remarkable that Jesus does not assume that they know how to pray. Something as basic as prayer, Jesus does not assume that these disciples know how to pray. I wonder, when it comes to something so basic like prayer, if we maybe make the same assumptions as well, that we just assume we know how to pray. I've shared with some of you this summer my rekindled love of running during this pandemic. And I know it doesn't make sense to some of you that that running would be just a sport or something you would do for no other reason just to run. But I really enjoy it. I've always been a runner, really. But during this pandemic, I've gotten into it in ways I haven't before. And I'm even reading books about running. That's what I do to enjoy running. I read books about it. I'm on my fourth book about running itself. You know what I've realized? In the 25-plus years I have been running, no one has ever taught me how to run. And I've developed a lot of bad habits. And now I'm kind of relearning how to run, something as basic as how to run, paying attention to my cadence, paying attention to how my foot is striking the ground and how I'm holding my arms and how I'm breathing and I'm running and I'm feeling good. 25 years I've been running and didn't really know how to run. Something as basic as running, I didn't know how. Here's my point. You know, is it possible that maybe we've been praying for 25-plus years? Maybe we've been doing something called prayer, but maybe we've never really learned. Maybe we've never really listened to Jesus' words and hear what he has to say about prayer. Yes, it's basic. Yes, it's basic. I'll get prayer is basic, but we need to be taught to pray. Jesus wants to teach us to pray. That's the posture we need to have. So number one, prayer needs to be taught. Number two, the starting point for prayer is relationship. The starting point for prayer is relationship. Now first see that Jesus gives us two negative examples in this passage of how not to pray. He says here, don't pray like this. And the first example is the way of the hypocrite, verse 5. What's the hypocrite need to pray? What's his starting point? He needs an audience, right? He needs a street corner. He's going to do his best praying when people are looking on, when he has an audience. Jesus says, don't pray like him. The other negative example Jesus gives here is in verse 7. It's the prayer of the Gentile. What's his starting point? His starting point are his own words. He believes that he's going to be heard because of these empty phrases, because it goes on and on and on. He's going to arm wrestle his way into the presence of God. Jesus says we don't need to be like that. He says don't pray like the hypocrite. Don't pray like the Gentile. He gives us another way. The starting point for prayer, says Jesus, is not the street corner. It's not our own words. It's relationship. Prayer is about relationship. It says, go, look at this, verse 6, it says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. Wow, what a wonderful thought. Do you understand, right, how radical this is? That Jesus gathers his disciples together and says, when you pray, pray like you're talking to your Father. To your Father. Right, do you understand? One of the reasons that the Jews wanted to kill Jesus was what? He referred to God as his Father. This was blasphemous. They wanted to kill him. John chapter 5, verse 18 says, this man even refers to God as his Father. Jesus not only calls God his Father, he teaches his disciples to do the same, to treat prayer in that way. There's just something so wonderful when I can get my head, when I can get my heart around this, the starting point for prayer. Prayer flows from relationship. Often I think we think we need to work ourselves up to prayer. Often I think I need to work myself up to prayer. I need to get in that right kind of spiritual mindset. I love the words of C.S. Lewis. He says, we should lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. We should lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. The starting point for prayer is relationship. It begins with where I am, wherever that is, not what should be in me. That means, right, if it's anger, I begin with anger. If it's discontentment, if it's distraction, wherever that is, the starting point for prayer is not something outside of myself over here. The starting point for prayer is relationship. That's one of the reasons, by the way, we love the Psalms, isn't it? The Bible's prayer book, to see the rawness, to see every range of the human emotion laid before God in prayer, where they are, where we are.
This, of course, is how the gospel transforms prayer. The hypocrite, the Gentile, right? They think if they could just pray the right way that they will be righteous. Their prayers are a way of making themselves righteous. For the Christian, right, we've already obtained righteousness. The Lamb has already been slain for us. We have that hope. He has already removed our sin. He's already removed our shame. We are pure. We are spotless. We are clean. Our prayer is not a means of obtaining that. It flows from it. So the starting point for prayer is relationship. Number three, prayer actually requires space. Prayer requires space. Jesus says, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Go into your room, shut the door. There are a lot of ways that that we can pray. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. So certainly prayer is not restricted to a quiet room. And yet Jesus says here, go into your room. Go into your room. Find a space that's unseen from the world. Find that physical space that's unhurried from the concerns of the world and go in there. I get that in the world of quarantine, this might be hard to figure out. How do we find that space that's quiet in order to pray? And yet, that's what Jesus says. We need to do that. It can be inside, it can be outside, but we need to figure that out. Prayer requires space. We need that space in order to pray. Finally, number four, last observation. Prayer has or should have an impact on our lives. Prayer should have an impact on our lives. He says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus says that there is a reward for prayer. There's a reward for prayer. He doesn't elaborate on what this reward is. Certainly, it includes this idea that God, my Father, hears my prayer. He answers my prayer. He knows what I need even before I open my mouth. What a precious thought. But I think on top of all of that, this reward is that prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. Prayer has an impact on our lives. Right, and why wouldn't it? If we can find that space to get away and just to sit before our Father, to quiet our hearts and to quiet our souls, it has an impact on our lives. I love that scene in the Old Testament, Moses up on the mountain, standing in the presence of God, and he comes off the mountain. What happens? You know, right? He was physically changed. His face is glowing. Physically, his presence, his face was changed because he was in the presence of God. And that exact thing isn't what happens to us, at least physically, but I think spiritually, right? That's what happens when we are in the presence of God. When we spend time in prayer, it has an impact on our lives. It will change our day. It changes our mindset. More than ever, we need to figure out personally for ourselves, in our families, and yes, as a church, how do we pray? How do we find time to get away and sit in the presence of God? It will have an impact on our lives. It should have an impact on our lives. That should motivate us to pray. There's a reward that we have for carving that out. So how do we stay rooted? How do we become like this tree planted by streams of water? How do we make sure that those roots are going down into that life-giving water by learning to pray? I want to challenge you specifically this week. How can you create space for prayer in your life this week? The fall starting back up. Last Sunday in August, all the conversation on the in the parking lot before the service was about the fall and all the things that we're looking forward to, we're not looking forward to. You're making plans or bemoaning the loss of plans. We're jumping into new rhythms. The challenge is this, right? How will prayer? Do you have a plan for prayer? How will that be a part of your future? Is that a part of your own personal growth? Will that be a plan for your family? Will that be a plan for our church? Will you become a person of prayer? When you pray, Go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. Let's pray, and let me invite the praise team back up here. And Father, we thank you for the privilege that that we have to be able to come into your presence through prayer, not through through our own work, through our own righteousness, but Jesus, that you have paved a way for us to be in your presence. And Lord, we pray that you would help us. Would you help me to more eagerly desire those kind of things? Lord, I pray that Cornerstone would be known more and more as a church that prays, that more and more we would be known as individuals, as families, as people of prayer who are saturated in that. Lord, would you even open our eyes this week and show us that reward that is ours when we pray. And we lay these things all at your feet, King Jesus. Amen.